I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
OTC, one pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn.
It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Uses directed for 14 days, not for immediate relief.
Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves world championship barbecue, and this is Gary Parrish reminding you that it's Memphis Barbecue Company in Horn Lake. Melissa Cookson, the owner, has won 8 world championships. She was the first woman inducted into the Barbecue Hall of Fame. She's the reason USA Today said a visit to Memphis Barbecue Company is, quote, worth the pilgrimage. I've personally been going there for years. You need to get there and taste it for yourself. It's at 709 DeSoto Cove, just off the interstate in Horn Lake. Check them out on the web, memphisbbqco.com.
It all starts with just one thing. Help out the environment by vacationing close to where you live to avoid excess fuel costs and spend more time outside during the long summer days. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Hi, this is Troy Five-Ash, owner of Five-Ash Roofing. As most of you know, I don't have a history of bragging or boasting that Five-Ash Roofing is the best roofer in the Memphis area, but did you know we are the only diamond-level roofing professional in the area? We are one of very few local roofing companies that have been in business for 20 years. We've never had a justified claim against us. We are locally owned and family-operated. Our labor warranties are for the life of the shingles. We're experts in insurance claim. We do residential and commercial work. We are the official roofer of the University of Memphis Athletic Department and a proud member of the Tigers home team. We support local youth sports and St. Jude's. We have worked with churches and veteran services to help those in need by providing services at a deep discount or even for free. We are currently working with Young Life to give them a free roof on the historic log cabin in Germantown. Five Ash Roofing. Fair, honest, and ethical. 367-0050 or memphisroofer.com.
Five Ash Roofing is what you do. We're here for you.
Don't be left standing outside this season. Visit the Sportsbook Lounge at Samstown. Take a seat, take a sip, and win big. You won't miss out on any game action at Samstown Tunica. Must be 21 or older. Other restrictions apply. Gambling problem? Call 888-777-9696.
It's 6 p.m. in Memphis, and it's time for The 6 on 92.9 FM ESPN with the Jeff Calkins Show.
We're joined now by Matt Steinmetz. Matt Steinmetz on Twitter. Steinmetz NBA, radio.com sports NBA insider joins me. Now, Matt, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing well.
That was crazy, wasn't it?
Yes, so far. There's still a lot to go, but yeah.
Yeah, there's still a lot to go. Let's take it from the just really quick on the Grizzlies and Andre Iguodala. Obviously, he's been a mainstay out there for Golden State. They did not want to. He sort of is a culture guy, but they had no choice at this point, did they? But to offload him just and to pay the price, which was could be a pretty good draft pick in 2024. You never know, to get his contract off the books.
Yeah, not a bad move at all for Memphis. I don't know if the Grizzlies are going to buy him out or keep him around, because he is a good good solid veteran. You know, it's funny. This thing's nobody thought it was going to end like this for the Warriors and kind of their dynasty. And while you don't want to say the dynasty's over, certainly it's got to hit reset, I think, a little bit. I think the thing that's shocking is I think people were ready for Kevin Durant to leave or embrace themselves. Andre Iguodala may have been a different story, believe it or not. He really has turned into a guy out here that's a fan favorite, and obviously he's proven his worth over the years to this team. So, yeah, it's definitely changing the guard time out here.
It's funny, the Iguodala thing, it feels like it's more a psychological blow. Like he has come to represent something with that. How much does he have left in the tank, by the way?
Well, that's a great question. The thing about Iguodala is he's one of these guys that's very high maintenance with his body. Everything's got to be perfect. But if it is perfect, he's a pretty darn good player. The thing that he's become great at, and here's why I don't know if it's a fit with the Grizzlies is he kind of builds up over the course of the season, and he's usually at his healthiest and at his best, you know, come playoff time. I mean, I joked the last 2 years that the Warriors really, they didn't need him to show up till the All-Star break, really, and get ready from there. So that would be the one issue, I would say, with Iguodala. You know, he's really become good at pacing himself and getting him ready for certain points of the season. I don't know if Memphis is going to want that kind of player, but I think if there's a team going, you know, that thinks they're a title contender in 6 months, then he may be a good fit for somebody.
Yeah, that's the only question, whether you end up buying him out or whether you can either hold on him to the trade deadline, in which case he's an asset and or whatnot. But I suspect he will never play a minute here, but we shall see. There are rumors already that he could be bought out and go to the Lakers, where Rob Pelinka, obviously his former agent, is now running the show, which would make some sense, clearly, if he gets bought out. In terms of the Warriors, do you think, by the way, that Kevin Durant, how long do you think he's known he was leaving?
Boy, that's a great question. I think all year. I really do. You know, if you talk to people around the NBA at the start of the season, nobody said it definitively, but everybody seemed to think Durant's out of Golden State. Sounds like Durant's gone, and everybody had that sense. And then there was then of course over the course of a season, it comes and goes a little bit. But I think that he had made his mind up before the season that pretty much this was going to be it here at Golden State, and you know, barring something crazy happening, that he was going to leave. And nothing crazy happened. I mean, I know he suffered a serious injury, but that in and of itself wasn't going to be enough to keep him here.
It's funny. My own perception is that because of the injury, his best route to get the love that he wanted, not just in Golden State, but league-wide, was to remain in Golden State and come back. Warriors obviously aren't going to win a title next year, so that's 2 years without a title, without Durant. And then you come back injured for the team for which you put your body on the line. You win a title. You then get the acclaim that you've always wanted. Instead, he goes to Brooklyn with Kyrie, and I know everyone's applauding them, as they should be applauded. They've bested the Knicks, et cetera. I don't see them winning a title, though. Do you?
You know what?
Maybe.
Not right now, I don't. But, I mean, the thing that the perspective I have from out here is, you know, nobody saw the Warriors winning a title 10 years ago.
Right.
And I get it. 10 years, Kevin Durant ain't going to be around. But, gosh, all it takes is you know, maybe one more move from them at this point, and they're right there. Can Kevin Durant win a title in Brooklyn? That's a great question, and I think that's the reason – you know, I think that's basically the reason why he's left Golden State, is I think he wants more of a basketball challenge. I actually don't think toward the end of this regular season he was challenged enough from a basketball standpoint. And I think that's why the last month or so we saw so many games where he wouldn't shoot or he didn't shoot a lot. And he was and he was assisting and rebounding. I think he was looking for more, more of a challenge out on the basketball court.
What did you make of the D'Angelo Russell acquisition? It seems like a little bit of an odd fit, but what do you think?
Well, honestly, that's a player that there's no way he was on the Warriors' radar, a week ago. And I think they realized they were going to lose Durant. It wasn't going to be to New York. It was going to be to Brooklyn. And at that point, they said, let's try to get any kind of asset back for him. And they got D'Angelo Russell. And what kind of a fit is he? I mean, that's a great question. I mean, he's a point guard, and last I checked, the Warriors don't have a bad one out here. So obviously they can play together. Clay obviously won't be here for at least probably till the All-Star break. But if they plan to keep Russell long term, and honestly, I have no idea whether they do or don't, then they would probably be looking at playing Clay Thompson a lot at small forward. So We'll see how it goes. I'm a little skeptical, to tell you the truth, because it feels like it kind of came a little bit out of nowhere. And you're right about the fit, and they just went ahead and paid a guy they know very little about, $120 million. So we'll see. By the same token, they get back an all-star. So that they got something for him.
Talking to Matt Steinmetz on Twitter at SteinmetzNBA. Does a lot of stuff with the Warriors, NBA insider for Radio.com Sports. Looking around the rest of the league, obviously Kawhi hasn't made up his mind, but it appears more and more likely Lakers, which, listen, for those of us who didn't like the stars gathering in Golden State, we now have recreated some version of it, perhaps in L.A. What do you think of Kawhi and the Lakers' possibility?
I think you can't turn your back on the guy, but I don't think he's a great fit. But they're so talented that it might not matter. I mean, the way I look at it, don't they have a 3-4-5 with LeBron, Kuzma, and Anthony Davis?
Right.
So again, I mean, if Kawhi Leonard says I want to play with you guys, there's no team in the league that's going to say we'd rather not have you. But it is a little bit curious because they definitely need backcourt help more than frontcourt help. With that said, I got to believe they become the favorite in a big way in the Western Conference if he ends up going there, just on sheer talent.
Anyone else you loved yesterday and anyone else you hated yesterday?
There's a team out in California, the Sacramento Kings, that people are really high on. And I think they're a team where, you know how – if you meet expectations a year early, then people expect too much the next year.
Yep.
I'm worried about that for the Sacramento Kings. And the other guy I'm worried about, the other guy that I think is interesting is Dallas, what they're trying to do with Porzingis and Doncic. Obviously, they just paid Porzingis, and I'm just, you know, he better be healthy. But you know what? Brooklyn's probably saying the same thing about Durant.
How about Horford and Philly, which is that's a weird lineup. Obviously, a lot of talent. But again, Al Horford, Tobias Harris, Embiid, Ben Simmons, that's a sort of an odd mixture.
It is. And, man, Al Horford is a guy that I remember when he was with the Hawks, I would say, man, that guy's a good player. He is so solid, good locker room guy. I just wonder at what point he's going to really hit some diminishing returns because he's up there, and now they got him for 4 years. That said, he's never really been a high flyer, you know, so he knows how to play below the rim. But it's clear that, to me, Philly, what they did was they changed out Butler for Horford, and I think they think it's going to be kind of an upgrade in professionalism,
right,
or – you know, that locker room, it's going to be a positive locker room impact influence instead of Butler, who's, I'm not saying he's a negative, but he's pretty, you know, he's been a pretty tough teammate for guys, particularly younger players. And I think they think Horford's a better fit there, especially because he's coming from Boston, which was pretty young the last few years.
Matt, you're awfully nice to join us. Really appreciate your perspective. I know it's a busy time. Thanks very much.
Coming up next on The Six.
These kids that are playing in the NBA right now only know if the Knicks is a laughing stock. They
exactly
can't make a free agent.
Yep.
And they only lose basketball games. There is no draw. And what we learned with the net situation is what I've been saying for almost a year. We have to remember with the new NBA, the players are more important than the logos they wear on their chest. And that is the new NBA.
The Six continues with that next on 92.9 FM ESPN.
If you're ready to sell your home, or if you're ready to find the home of your dreams, you need to call the Live Love Memphis Group today. The website is livelovememphis.com. The phone number to call is 685-6000.
And the person to ask for is Jennifer Carstensen. She took care of me. She'll take care of you too.
685-6000.
There are few rites of spring more satisfying than the annual deep clean, but many homeowners fail to include their air conditioning system in this ritual. There are a lot of low-priced tune-up offers out there, but your air conditioning system is a big investment, so be sure you're trusting its maintenance to professionals like Landmark Heating and Air Conditioning. Since 1970, we've been providing quality service at reasonable prices. Schedule your $95 precision air conditioning tune-up today at 365-4260 or visit us at landmarkheatingandair.com. Landmark.
Hey, Hey guys, time to get ready for summer. Now, if you've done your part at the gym, it's time to let University Plastic Surgery Group help you with that little extra push. It's called Cool Sculpting. You can freeze away the fat with the world's number one non-invasive fat reduction procedure. University Plastic Surgery Group can help you achieve your workout goals because they're going to target the trouble areas. It's a 45 to 60 minute procedure. You can do it on your lunch hour. Keep your edge at work and look good this summer. Call 350-4858 or visit utuniversityplasticsurgeons.com today.
Down home, we don't follow trends, we set them. Church's Bourbon Black Pepper Smokehouse Chicken is back. A half chicken kiss with a bourbon glaze, plus mashed potatoes and a biscuit for $5. Sink your teeth in before it's gone. Church's, bringing that down home flavor.
Offer valid at participating locations.
Hey everybody, the All-Star Chevy Challenge is here. And I'm telling you, if it's a new Chevy you want, Olive Branch is the place to go, people. Take your best written deal from any Mid-South Chevy dealer to our friends at All-Star Chevrolet, and they will beat it. Or they're going to give you a free tank of gas for the win. So now that I got your attention, yes, July is All-Star Challenge Month, when you get to let All-Star Chevy beat that deal on any new Chevy or even pre-owned vehicle you want. Just take the official written deal from any other Chevy dealer, not that one your friend wrote down at the bar, and take it to All-Star Chevy in Olive Branch. It's that simple. Not only that, they have the best testing ground of any other Chevy dealership, and when you head to All-Star Chevy, you know you got the best deal. So find new roads to All-Star Chevrolet in Olive Branch and take the All-Star Challenge. Not in South Haven, it's gotta be Olive Branch. Or go to allstarautogroup.com right now and be amazed by all the hot new Chevys and pre-owned vehicles they have in stock. Don't miss the All-Star Chevy Challenge. You will thank me later.
We apologize for this Walmart grocery pickup commercial. Because while you can't see the groceries I'll describe, my words may make your stomach growl. Loud. Get the baby carrots you crunch and the sweet ripe berries that make your mouth water. And now you can order online and get free curbside pickup, freshness guaranteed. So pick up these delicious things without even leaving your car. Sorry, that was my stomach. Walmart grocery pickup, $30 minimum. Restrictions apply. If you're not happy with your order, contact customer care for a refund.
Now, back to The Six with the Jason and John Show.
Hi, we're back. Jason and John, 929 FM, ESPN, NBA free agency rages on. Jason Fitz joins us every single Monday around this time. You can hear him, of course, on Golic and Wingo every morning, and he joins us now. Fitz, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing beautiful, but not as amazing as you guys are. Good Lord, are you partying in Memphis?
Well, I think so. For you know, listen, the moves for the Grizzlies, at least as it relates to free agency, have been unsexy, but I think efficient and shrewd. So it's like a it's like a grape juice party.
Yeah, but you know what? Sometimes unsexy and shrewd right now for the state of the organization actually makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think when you look at the strategy and you try and figure out what different teams are doing and what the approach is, you can look across the league, and I think the most frustrating thing for a fan base right now is not having clear lack of direction,
right?
Or having a clear lack of direction. There is absolute direction for what Memphis is doing and how they're doing it. So you can look at the plan and know exactly what you're up against. That's what you want as a fan base.
I'm with you completely on that. We talked about this. It lacked vision. It lacked, you know, what are you doing? Are you a foot in the past? Are you rebuilding for the future? And now, at least, it looks like this team certainly building for the future with the hope that it has two potential superstars in Jaren Jackson. Was it sort of hard to keep up? I'm not going to lie to you, Fitzy, for a 42-year-old guy, even knew that the deadline's coming yesterday, know it's going to be crazy, and yet it felt like the league literally changed, like the balance of power changed. We figured that could change even more if Kawhi goes to the Lakers, then it feels like Lakers show shut it down. But did the league not get better in the sense that it feels like a lot of teams now are in contention? It's not just one or two teams or whatever team LeBron's on, at least for right now.
Yeah, and I think that part of that comes back to, for me, we all knew that there were, what, 5, maybe 10 epic game-changing names, franchise-making names. And my fear was that none of them were going to go anywhere. We've talked about that. But mm-hmm. What happened is so much of the rest of the league moved around just enough that you could make the argument that a lot of teams got better. And I think that's what really hit me. I mean, you look at a team like the 76ers, and a couple of days ago we were talking about, you know, Jimmy Butler and how could they possibly let him walk.
Right.
Well, they end up letting him walk, but in the process they get Al Horford, who's somebody that's going to allow them to really play a different style defensively. It also, to me, means that they saw the blueprint on the team defense it takes to beat Giannis,
mm-hmm.
and they looked at it and said, okay, we were one shot away from beating Kawhi. We now have the blueprint on how to beat Giannis. Let's go win the East. So You know, you could make a valid argument right now that what Indiana got much better, obviously. Milwaukee is still going to be Milwaukee. I don't think the loss of Brogdon in and of itself doesn't make me think less of Milwaukee.
I'm with you.
The 76ers look like they're going to be good. I actually like Kemba better on the Celtics. So, I mean, I'm going up and down the East particularly, and I'm saying, good God, any of those teams could win it. Mm-hmm. And that's what we wanted out of this postseason.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, and I think, listen, we'll see what happens on Kawhi, but whatever he decides to do. I mean, my contention earlier in the show was that this could be the most interesting season of NBA basketball, at least before it starts, since LeBron's first year in Miami, just because of, like, it does feel like there is, not just in the Eastern Conference, but also the West, like there is, you know, and it's a variety of factors too. It's Golden State sort of having to drop back because of the injuries and KD leaving, but you know, it does feel like there is more parity in the NBA than there has been in a decade.
Yeah, well, and, you know, you mentioned the West. I think we all knew that there was a good chance that Golden State was going to lose KD. I didn't anticipate a full blow-up from that, and that's what it felt like happened quickly. You know, when they immediately decided they were going to fill, what, a three-guard system that's going to be interesting at best. I mean, I said it this morning on Golic and Wingo, but I understand that the Warriors are without reproach because of the way they've been over the last, you know, five, six years. But you have to look at the players they get. They go out and it looks like they're going to acquire D'Angelo Russell. That's fine for right now while they're trying to get Clay healthy, but Clay's going to get healthy, they hope, in time for the playoffs, and then he's going to have to come in and either work in with D'Angelo and Steph or in replacement of, and what does their offense look like? I mean, they took a strange turn. And so now all of a sudden, I think we're looking around saying, well, okay, the Warriors took a strange turn. The Rockets didn't get the guy that they obviously earmarked that was going to make a difference for them. You know, you look around there and suddenly, are we going to be talking about Utah and Denver this year? Yeah, I mean, we are. And so that's a much different version of the NBA. And by the way, you mentioned the most interesting since LeBron came into the league. The Pelicans are going to be interesting. I mean, they're going to be fun to watch. So even Zion's going to have eyeballs. So, yeah, the NBA won this time.
Personality-wise, and maybe this is something that doesn't even or shouldn't even matter in this discussion, but does Kawhi Leonard feel like a Los Angeles Laker to you? Like, do you see Kawhi being comfortable there? And I know it's home, right? I know it's home, so that's certainly something to consider. But, you know, with the theater lights and the media and everything that comes with being a Laker, like, does Kawhi really want that?
I don't think so. But the only thing I would say is with the Lakers is in personality alone, he's such a distant third to what LeBron and Anthony Davis are as mm-hmm. personalities. Maybe he could go there and actually still be a little invisible. I mean, that's the one thing I could take away from it. But it still doesn't feel like Kawhi's personality. I mean, everything we'd ever heard was that he wanted to beat LeBron, not join LeBron. So I'm not sure why we took a sharp left turn on that, other than that's what makes sense to all of us, you know. And we're constantly looking at dream teams and trying to figure out how to stack them. The biggest problem the Lakers are going to face is that every single day they're waiting to figure out what they're all Kawhi is the day that they're losing quality players that could play for the money that they have left. So I'm not sure how they're going to split their cash up if they spend the next 3 days waiting on Kawhi to take meetings and take his time to make his decision.
Fitz, I used to look at the Knicks and kind of laugh at their suffering. But I don't even think I'm doing that anymore. I mean, I know Stephen A's, you know, been, and that's easy to laugh at. But for those fans that, you know, they get rid of Porzingis, they think, oh, we're going to get something big. They think for a while they're going to get the number one pick because the odds, they don't get Zion. And then now you look at sort of what they're left with. Look at what the Nets did. I mean, is there, you know, if you are a front office, if you're in that front office with the Knicks or you're a ticket rep, how are you getting people to buy tickets? I feel so terrible for their fan base.
Yeah, and I don't know what keeps people coming back other than, and you guys know this as much as anybody, great fans, it's in your blood. And, you know, I'll go back years ago, my wife, when we first met, the Raiders were coming off a Super Bowl appearance. And I told her, I was like, you know what, every Sunday I go watch my beloved Raiders play. And then we start dating, and immediately the Raiders are terrible. So a few years ago, she for Christmas one year, she comes in and she says, you know what, you spent so much of your childhood around Manhattan. Also, I got your Giants hat. Thought maybe you'd want to try a new team on. And I had to explain to her, like, if I could have done that, I would have done it years ago, and it would have been for, like, a Patriots hat or a Packers hat or something, you know, guaranteed victory-like. And, you know, the thing for Knicks fans is that
you know, this is why I think it hurts so much for so many of them. They are some of the most loyal, fiercely passionate fans that you'll find anywhere in sports. Mm-hmm. So they can't turn off the part of them that believe in the Knicks. The problem is the Knicks are now irrelevant, and that's hard for anybody. You know, I'm 42. That's hard for me to say. That's hard for people to hear. But the fact is, these kids that are playing in the NBA right now only know if the Knicks is a laughingstock.
They
can't get a major free agent.
Yep.
And they only lose basketball games. There is no draw. And what we learned with the net situation is what I've been saying for almost a year. We have to remember with the new NBA, the players are more important than the logos they wear on their chest, and that is the new NBA. So you have to create an environment the players want to be around, and then the logo can benefit. They haven't done that with the Knicks. They've obviously done that somehow, some way with the Nets, partially because they had a better season, but partially because, let's face it, they're in Brooklyn, they're in a trendy part of town, they got cool uniforms,
yep.
They got cool logos. It's fun to wear the stuff. And by the way, the pizza guy is not going to throw a slice in your face if you forget how to box out. Like, that's not your reality as a Nets player. So, you know, it's unfortunate. It is a shame because there's no easy solution. And I know what it feels like to look at my favorite team and say, man, what do you do when you don't believe in ownership anymore?
Yeah.
You can't force a team to sell just because their ownership stinks. And so, as a result, the Knicks and their fan base are just – sitting here now waiting until, what, the summer of 2022, hoping that that's better results for. That's a shame for the NBA.
No, it's like purgatory. No question about it.
We are, of course, talking to Jason Fitz. You can hear him every morning right here on 92.9 as part of Golic and Wingo. Did Kevin Durant leave Golden State because of media and fans?
That's a really good question. I don't think we know enough about what Kevin Durant wants to really fully grasp it. I'm still stunned. I mean, I'm stunned in the sense that, like, I'd love to champion myself and remind everybody I did say he would pick the Nets over the Knicks any day. But I also thought he'd go back to Golden State. I mean, explain to me why he thinks he's got a better shot. Ryan Russillo said this. You're going to hitch yourself to a wagon. Why are you hitching yourself to Kyrie? And if that was really the sort of the driving point of this, that they had to play together somewhere, I don't get it. I don't get how it's a better situation for him. The only thing I would say is that at least the legacy conversation is over, because I think when he brought himself back into the finals and injured himself and goes through this situation, people no longer question the toughness of KD. And when he comes back, it won't be how many championships do the Nets have to win. If the Nets win at a high level,
right,
we'll look at it and say, how cute is this? The Nets are winning. So he gets away from some of the pressure, some of the expectations, and he restarts in New York, and maybe that was enough.
I honestly thought it was the perfect situation for him to go back to Golden State, you know, like you mentioned, because they lost without him. You know, when he was in the game, you know, was it game six or game five, whichever one it was, when he tore his Achilles, you know, they were winning. They were winning that game. So he came back to rescue them and unfortunately couldn't close the deal because of the injury, but they didn't do it without him. They couldn't do it without him. And so to me, it set up perfect from a narrative standpoint for him to go back and then win those hearts and minds because they need him. And apparently, you know, that wasn't enough. And I don't think he'll, you know, I certainly don't think he will win multiple championships in Brooklyn. Maybe they have a chance at one a year from now, but I don't know. I just feel like he, you know, what he's looking for, I'm skeptical of him finding in Brooklyn, I guess is what I would say.
I agree with you. And, you know, I think that only brings us back to trying to figure out what the heck he's actually looking for, because, you know, it's the same thing I would say to Kawhi. If Kawhi cares the most about winning and just going somewhere where he can win at the highest possible level, where the culture is about championships and where the city is going to love a team, why would he ever leave Toronto? I mean, if he goes back to Toronto, they're still going to be one of the favorites in the East. If he goes to the Clippers, are they the favorite in the West? I don't know. They aren't. I mean, the only place he could go that would make him a clear-cut favorite today would be the Lakers, and I just don't see where that's a fit. So, you know, I'm trying to hold these guys accountable to what we know about what drives them. The problem is, I don't think we can figure out what the heck really drives Kevin Durant. And without knowing that, we're stuck here now saying, okay, you know, the Nets, in fairness, to be Debbie Downer for a second, the Nets have gone all in on a player that they're not sure what he's going to be like in a year, and they've gone all in on Kyrie Irving, somebody that has had his fair share of injury issues. Oh, and by the way, has been a cultural problem in the last two locker rooms he was in. So you can make the argument that the Knicks actually may have lucked out by not signing with you guys. It just doesn't feel good today.
Fitzy, settle this for us. Better acting chops, The Rock or Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Oh, The Rock all day.
Oh no.
See, you didn't know what you were getting into, did you, Jason? Yeah, thank you, Fizz. Thank you for corroborating that.
A drama king.
Well, like, without question?
There's no question about it.
And what great performance of The Rock's would you hold up there as his finest work, Fitzy? I'm a little bit frustrated already.
This is a great follow-up.
I am struggling to think of the great performance for The Rock.
That's right, because there are none.
I'm struggling for that, but I'm also struggling to find anything that's been delivered by Schwarzenegger that other than Shiki, I'll be back. You know, like, he's got that one line. He's got that one note. That doesn't make him a great actor. Come on.
True Lies, Kindergarten Cop. He showed you some other side, showed you a little range there. Can't get you to buy. Fitzy is triggered. I can't even hear you anymore. You've gone up an octave.
I mean, I'm telling you, I'm just saying. Is it really, like, you tell me that you know, Jim Carrey suddenly going to a dark role, that's strange, all right?
Right.
Schwarzenegger playing the same guy, you know, as that happens to be a kindergarten teacher. Like, Schwarzenegger and Stallone were not known for their range, gentlemen. So, you know, I'm just saying.
Well, I'm with you on that. And The Rock's range, he's pretty much the same guy in all of those.
The Rock is funnier.
Probably so.
The Rock's got the comedic chops. I mean, he can also do the action stuff, and he's got the comedic chops. The Rock on SNL, good.
Yeah, I agree. Fitz,
I'm stunned that you picked wrong here, Fitz.
Always appreciate the time, man. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
Coming up next on The Six.
My belief is that Andre Iguodala will not be on the Grizzlies roster when the season starts. I don't think a buyout is the first option.
Right.
I think they'll look around, is there a trade to be made?
What would a trade look like?
Well, I mean, it would be more than likely it is you're trading him to another team for a player of a similar contract who is less valuable now, and you're getting something with it. Love to get a first-round pick with it, but maybe get a second, a couple seconds, whatever.
The Six continues with that next on 92.9 FM ESPN.
The Memphis Grizzlies select Ja Morant from Murray State University.
It's at home. It's a Ja Morant.
What gave you the confidence to know that your game was big enough to belong on a stage like this?
It started with me. I feel like if you don't believe in yourself, then who will?
And drills it.
Ja Morant time in Memphis. The Memphis Grizzlies on 92.9 FM ESPN.
I used to be like you, stressing about auto repairs and not knowing what was really needed. Now I go to Madison Automotive. Instead of what's best for their pocket, they do what's best for you. Madison Automotive asks about your car goals, so you get the right repairs for your situation. Locally owned and operated, nationwide warranty. Visit MadisonAutomotive.com for specials and to book an appointment. Oh, ask about their million-mile warranty, too. Don't want to worry? Be like me. Visit MadisonAutomotive.com today.
Joe Stewart Body Shop is the best body shop in town. They've got the original location at 2916 Summer Avenue, and they've also got Joe Stewart Collision of Collierville, family-owned and operated since 1969. And they've been voted a Memphis Most Best Car Repair Shop for the last 5 years running. They're certified by Mercedes-Benz, BMW, Acura, and Honda, but they can work on any make or model. Take your car to Joe Stewart Body Shop, because taking your car anywhere else would be an accident.
Hi, I'm Brett Clark, operating partner of Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. On Sunday, our $48 Sunday table features 7 ounces of sliced filet mignon over mashed potatoes with your choice of salad and dessert. On Monday, $55 gets you 8 ounces of buttery filet and delicate North Atlantic lobster tail with salad and dessert. And finally, on Tuesday, come in for Tomahawk Tuesday. That's 2 salads, 2 side items, 2 desserts, and a 35-ounce prime tomahawk ribeye to share for only $120. Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. We use food and wine to create memorable times.
There's nothing like meeting face-to-face, and there's nothing like Zoom to make that happen. Zoom lets you connect and do business across town or around the world. Zoom ties together all of your communication needs into one easy platform for video conferencing, phone calls, group chat, webinars, and your conference rooms. Connect easily from anywhere, your mobile phone, your laptop, or conference room. Zoom is how business gets done. Get your free account at Zoom.com today. Meet happy with Zoom.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Get ready for the holiday weekend. If your check engine light is on, now's the time to find out why. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and let us scan your vehicle for free. We'll retrieve the codes, discuss solutions, and even help you find a professional technician if needed. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, back to The Six with the Jeff Calkins Show. Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Chris Harrington thing.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies and Beyond. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what is this that we're listening to?
That's a Speedo by the Cadillacs, one of the great doo-wop singles, mid-50s, and in honor of the speed at which money was flying off the board in the NBA last night.
Smokes! Was it atypical yesterday? Like, it felt crazier than usual.
I think it definitely was. First of all, you had like $1 billion reported committed before free agency negotiation began.
That is wild.
And then, like, by the end of the night, like, I mean, you had Kawhi Leonard in a sort of separate category. And after that, like, who were the biggest free agents still left? Like, when I went to bed, I thought, well, Pat Beverly. When I woke up, that had happened. And so, you know, this morning it was, what, DeMarcus Cousins? Like, that was about it. DeLon Wright? Like, DeLon Wright's one of the biggest free agents left. And we're less than 24 hours into the negotiation period.
Well, and it we'll get the Grizzlies here, of course, but it puts the Lakers in an interesting spot. Because if they don't get Kawhi, everything's gone.
What's the backup plan? Yeah.
What is the backup plan? And supposedly Rondo, they offered a
Rajon Rondo and Boogie Cousins, maybe. I don't know. Boogie's waiting for something. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's that.
So let's go. Let's start with the Grizzlies. Jonas's deal.
Totally fair. Like, when we talked a few weeks ago about, like, what's the Venn diagram overlap, you know, between what would make sense for him and what would make sense for the Grizzlies. I mean, that's sort of it. I'd sort of written before, and I rewrote today, that when you think about that player option he had in hand, that for him to opt out of that, there was a certain amount he was going to have to get. Otherwise, he would have just stayed in the player option for 17.6. And so I identified the floor as 3 years, $40 million. That he could pretty much be pretty certain he would get at least that if he opted in and just went to free agency next summer. So I think that's the floor they had to meet. And so if you're the Grizzlies, would you prefer like 3 years, 42? Sure, but like 345 is not that different from, you know, from that floor. And so I think it was a fair deal for both sides. With the Grizzlies, you know, I think $15 million per year average is a little bit higher than maybe you would prefer, but I think you got two things out of it. You got only a 3 year deal. I suspect they could have done a 4 year deal with a little bit lower per year average, but I think it's better for the Grizzlies to do the 3 years and pay a little bit more per year. And then they got it structured so it starts high and descends, and so that helps. That adds a couple more million to what they have to deal with to use next summer. And so I think it's a good deal for both sides.
What is the significance of that? The three, is it? It's next summer and it descends the year after that. Does it also make it more dealable if you wish to in the third?
The significance of the 3 years or the descending?
Descending, yeah.
I mean, it's a marginal thing either way. You're talking about $2 billion here or there. It's more a question of, would you rather have that extra $2 million now, or would you rather have it next summer? And you could debate it either way. I think the Grizzlies sort of determined that they freed up enough money in the Mike Conley trade that they get enough to work with this summer. It would be better to kick that space into next summer, where who knows what you're going to want to do. Maybe you're going to want to go out and put a big offer down for someone in free agency or whatever. But the idea that they had what they needed this summer, they didn't need that extra space, so why not have that extra space next summer and the summer after?
Then all hell breaks loose all over the league, and the Grizzlies are doing nothing. And then all of a sudden, boom, the Andre Iguodala trade, where they take on Andre Iguodala and his 1 year remaining on his deal, and they get a draft pick from Golden State that likely will be conveyed in 2024 when it is 1 through 4
protected.
Yeah. That kid is now three. No, he's an eighth grader, whatever. Right. But that's the beauty. They wanted to do that, and that's a very light protection. I'm
surprised at how light the protection is. No, I think if you if I guessed, I would say the Warriors are probably still going to be really good. It's probably a pick in the 20s because they're the Warriors and they have the ownership and they have that new building they just built. Yeah. And like,
and in 2 years, they could. Right. Clay will be 36 then or something or whatever. But not Clay. I mean, who knows?
Giannis Antetokounmpo may be a Warrior. I mean, exactly. like, who knows?
They're going to have, in 2 years, they're going to be able to add really good players in 2021 to go with the good players already have. Yeah.
So there's a chance that picks in the 20s. But like, even if it's a pick in the 20s, like, that's good too. I mean, you know, I mean, you got it like sort of for nothing. But you got it for like some cap space that you already, or not even cap space, some luxury tax space that like, what else are you going to do with it? You're going to use it to get draft picks. That's the whole point. And there is at least the possibility there that it could be a pretty good pick.
There's a possibility it could be a good pick. Probably greater possibility that than the Utahs will be a good pick, that one. So right now you've gotten three first-round picks for the Mike Conley deal, one of which you used on
Brandon Clark.
You've gotten a first-round pick from last year in Grayson Allen. So
I'm not playing that game.
That's fine.
You got Grayson Allen.
You got Grayson Allen.
He was a throw-in. He's a guy you take a shot at, and who cares?
Okay, fine. You got three first-round picks, one of which you've spent. You got Grayson Allen, and then you've got Jay Crowder, Kyle Korver, and Andre Iguodala.
And the beauty of that, as Matt Herlicka pointed out, those three players, the Crowder, Korver, and Iguodala, you didn't trade for those players. I know Iguodala's a big name, whatever, Finals MVP. Those were contracts you had to take to do the business you wanted to do. But there's bad contracts and there's bad contracts, right? These are good, bad contracts.
Right.
Players who can still play, the kind of players that contending teams would like to have on their roster. They're on one-year deals.
Right.
They are all extremely tradable, I think. I'm not saying they're all going to be traded. In fact, odds are they won't all be traded, but like all of them potentially could be traded to net you more value.
Right. Let's go through them real quickly. Andre Iguodala, there are reports out there, and maybe it's wishful thinking by big market team, whatever, reporters who cover big market teams, that he will be bought out and that he will go.
Are there reports he will be bought out, or reports that teams would be interested if he were bought out? That's not the same thing.
No,
because I haven't. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I've not
seen. Chris Broussard said likely bought out or something like that in a tweet, and someone else, I forgot who it was, said likely will end up with the Lakers because Rob Pelinka was his former agent after he's bought out.
My belief, and I've gotten no indication of this from anyone. Mm-hmm. It's just sort of, in fact, if anything, I've got an indication of, we love all the players that we've gotten and whatever. My belief is that Andre Iguodala will not be on the Grizzlies roster when the season starts. I don't think a buyout is the first option.
Right.
I think they'll look around, is there a trade to be made?
What would a trade look like?
Well, I mean, it would be more than likely it is you're trading him to another team for a player of a similar contract who is less valuable now, and you're getting something with it. You'd love to get a first-round pick with it, but maybe you're getting a second, a couple seconds, whatever. I'm not sure what that would be. Like, I could envision those kind of trades, but it wouldn't be with the teams that would do it, right? Like, you could go to Charlotte for Bismack Biyombo or to Orlando
or
Timothy
Mozgov or something.
Yeah, Miami is the one. Miami's got plenty of contracts, and it doesn't have to be Whiteside. It could be Ryan Anderson or whatever.
Ryan Anderson, another one. Yep.
Miami is a little bit more possible because they can talk themselves into, like, obviously they're trying to win now. They're trying to get Jimmy Butler.
Right.
And so I think for the Grizzlies, the first step to me is looking around for deals. Is there a trade you can make right now or this summer with Andre Iguodala that would be productive for you? So to me, that's, if you're doing your checklist, that's first on the checklist. If you can't find a trade, then the question is buy out or carry him into the season and see what materializes. They may well do the latter, but I'm a little skeptical. And if the market for him as a free agent is strong enough, if he were bought out, then there's a greater chance of negotiating a buyout that he actually gives some money back. And maybe you get this first-round pick for Iguodala, and then you can create a few million dollars more in wiggle room if he's willing to take a buyout that is commensurate with the contract he will sign somewhere else.
And the buyout both lowers the cash you give him and lowers the hit. It does both.
If you negotiate it. Yes.
So if he really wants to get the heck out of here and go to the Lakers, he could negotiate a buyout or somewhere
else. If he thinks there's a $4 million offer for him to sign somewhere else that he wants to go to, maybe he gives you back $4 million on the buyout. I don't know. You have to negotiate that. But maybe and then that adds more to your wiggle room of what you can do this summer.
The idea of carrying him into the season and then dealing him at the trade deadline.
Or during the season.
It doesn't have to be at the deadline.
Right.
That feels less likely just because it just doesn't feel like. I know he's supposedly a good guy and a good teammate. He sounds like a good guy and a teammate on a good team.
Yeah, you know? I think to me it seems less likely than, say, Jake Crowder or Kyle Korver. because of both sort of the stature of what he is in the league relative to the Golden State team, and also the size of the contract. I think it's easier to flip a $7 million deal that's like Jay Crowder or Kyle Korver. There are a lot more options for that to happen than a $17 million deal like Iguodala. And so my hunch, and it's only a hunch, is that either via trade or buyout, he'll probably be off the roster before training camp. But that's not like a certainty as far as I know.
Right. And then of the other two, Jay Crowder and Kyle Korver, do we have? We believe Jay Crowder could be the starting.
Jay Crowder is fully under contract.
Going to be here. Yeah.
And unless someone makes the Grizzlies a good offer this summer, he'll be on the roster when training camp starts and maybe a starter.
Yep.
Yeah.
Kyle Korver.
Korver is a borderline proposition, and I went through all the resetting the salary cap and all that in the column I put up this morning. That was sort of the after the fact, not the story last night, but the one I put up this morning. If you break everything down, the Grizzlies have, at the moment, conservatively, about $15 million in wiggle room under the luxury tax. And so that means of three potential bits of business, keeping...
Just to clarify, Bobby Marks had him over the tax, in the tax, but that's because of...
I'm making assumptions.
Right.
It's just a different way you look at it.
Yes, exactly.
Right? We don't have different information. We're just cutting it different ways.
That's what I know. That's why I wanted to clarify.
Yeah, and so I've got them at $15 million of a little bit more than that, but I'm going to assume they leave themselves wiggle room. So $15 million under the luxury tax, and at that point, the three biggest bits of business you could do, you can only do one of the three, probably. You could keep Avery Bradley, which I think at this point won't happen. You could re-sign DeLon Wright, which I think is likely to happen. Or you could use your full mid-level exception, and so you can only do one of those three things. So let's assume they do one of those three things. At that point, there's still another enough wiggle room for one other bit of business, and keeping Kyle Korver could be that other bit of business. It doesn't have to be, but it could be, because Kyle Korver is already like $3.5 million of that is guaranteed, so that's already accounted for. So to keep him costs you an additional $4 million, and so that additional $4 million, I think they have the wiggle room to play with. So the question would be, do you want to use that additional $4 million to keep Kyle Korver, or would you rather go out into free agency and sign someone else with that additional $4 million, right?
Right.
And that sort of, to me, that it's a secondary decision. The primary decision is Avery Bradley versus DeLon Wright versus your mid-level exception, and the secondary decision is Kyle Korver versus other little stuff.
Yeah. The reason that Bobby Marks has him over, though, for example, would be that he assumes Avery Bradley on the team.
Right.
You would save everybody off
I'm
the
only
team.
Counting the $2 million that is guaranteed.
Yes, right. Exactly. And same thing with Kyle Korver, basically. He probably does that, too. So that's where you get to that situation. Okay, so that means with DeLon Wright, what are the...
Dallas is who I would worry about right now.
Yeah.
If you look at the market, lots of point guards went off last night and this morning. And so you've got...
Phoenix is done. Bulls are done.
Yeah, I'm pulling this up. I got the whole thing in my column that I wrote. But, like, you know, in terms of point guards that were below the max level, you have from Malcolm Brogdon at 486 down to Ish Smith at 212. And so the Pacers, they've checked their point guard box. The Hornets with Terry Rozier. The Suns with Ricky Rubio. Clippers, that's a typo I got to fix. Clippers with Pat Beverly to go with. They already had Lou Williams, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You can click them off. The Kings with Corey Joseph. The Bulls with Thomas Satoransky. The Bucks with George Hill. The Pistons with Derrick Rose, the Wizards with Ish Smith. So you start, you know, crossing names off.
Yeah, I got point guards, right?
Like the musical chairs aren't finished. We talked about the Lakers. You know, they're dealing with Kawhi. If Kawhi leaves, they got to do something. I do think it's Rondo, but they will have something.
Someone reported there that he was offered a contract with 24 hours to accept. What the deal?
So the Lakers are still out there. I don't think that's the DeLon Wright home, but they are still out there. The Knicks have signed all these people. They haven't signed a point guard. Someone texted me on my way over that the Knicks are really hampered by the you have to spend all your cap space in the first 24 hours rule that apparently they believe exists. And so I don't think the Knicks are the DeLon Wright landing spot, but maybe. The team I'd be worried about is Dallas, because the whole Jimmy Butler thing blew up last night. They have all this cap space. They haven't used it. You know, people thought, you know, they'd be Al Horford. Nope. They'd be Nikola Vucevic. Nope. They'd be Kemba Walker. Nope. They'd be Pat Beverly. Nope. 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 Like, what's left, right? And so they could go center, or they could go point guard, or they could go both. They had enough cap space for both. And so in terms of a team that could offer DeLon Wright more than the mid-level exception, which is that's really all I would be worried about if I'm the Grizzlies,
right.
Who's going to offer him more than that? I think the Mavericks may be the only spot out there for him, but it could happen. Because if you look at who the other point guards are on the market, you could argue DeLon Wright's the best that's left. I mean, it's Tyus Jones, who's also restricted from Minnesota, Elfrid Payton, Emmanuel Mudiay, you know, Rondo, Jeremy Lin. Like, DeLon Wright may be the best guy out there. And so if you're Dallas, you get all this money you haven't spent and you want to add a point guard, that's what I would worry about if I'm the Grizzlies. And so to me, and I don't know where they're at in their negotiations, but to me what I suspect is – you look at the Thomas Satoransky deal and with Chicago. That was a sign and trade. People probably don't know who that is, but he's a similar player to DeLon Wright.
Good player. 6'7"
point guard. He can play both spots. He was a restricted free agent. So he ends up going to the Bulls on a 3-year, $30 million deal. To me, that's sort of a baseline now. And so if you're the Grizzlies, do you offer that to try to get a deal done, or do you want to play more hardball with restricted free agency and try to get a better deal? And if you're DeLon Wright, do you take that, or do you wait and see if a better offer comes from Dallas? And so I don't know where they're at in their negotiation, but I suspect that that's the landing spot. Maybe they're sort of maneuvering around. It's a matter of, you know, who wants to be more aggressive in the negotiation, or if they just want to, like, get a deal done.
And does this, by the way, so if he's gone, who do you then like as a backup point guard? If in the end, if Dallas overpays, you decide not to match, who do you like out of this
group? So I haven't written this yet, but since you asked, I'm going to do it here. If DeLon Wright walks, you need another veteran point guard for insurance with John Morant and Javon Carter there.
Yeah.
I would go a 1-year deal on somebody cheap, best I could get, whatever, Elfrid Payton, Jeremy Lin, something like that. And I would return to the abandoned experiment of Kyle Anderson backup point guard. I would have my safety valve, my veteran guy, whatever, but I would be looking to try to use Kyle Anderson in that role. Because I think that's his best utility at this point.
So you would go sign someone, plus
yes. Yes. Yeah,
because
Kyle Anderson's already on the roster.
Because Kyle Anderson doesn't work anymore, particularly as a wing, that much on this roster.
There's a real question about that. Whereas him as essentially your backup point guard, I think is something I would be wanting to experiment with if I'm not bringing DeLon Wright back.
That's an interesting.
But go get Jeremy Lin if you can for cheap, and you have him, but then you're really in the flow of the season. You're trying to see if Kyle Anderson works.
That's interesting. They'll do something with this point guard situation. They may look around to see if they can get something from Iguodala.
Yep.
Is that it? Like, are we done?
Yeah, I think so. Like I said, you only get like $15 million to work with under the tax. They're not going to be a tax team in.
Well, how about Chandler Parsons?
Oh, I think we both.
You've said this. You've said.
I think he'll get bought out. Right. I don't think they'll find a trade, especially now. All these moves they keep making keeps lowering and lowering the odds of doing anything with Chandler Parsons. Because, like, who's trading for Chandler Parsons when you just trade for Andre Iguodala, right? Like, you do the same trade, right?
Right.
Essentially. And so they got so much else to work with now in terms of all these other veteran expirings who are better than Chandler Parsons. Right. And they still get...
No one's, yeah, taking that.
And so, if you talk to people with the team, they'll be like, we don't have to do anything with him. We hold him to the deadline. Expiring contract increases
in
value.
And they say that because they want him to negotiate a lower buyout.
That's my belief. I don't know that. But I presume that. Yeah, that's my presumption.
I don't want him screwing up the locker room.
That is what I think. And I think at the end of the day that you negotiate something, you buy him out.
Right. Leaking every scrap that happens, a bit of unhappiness that happens in the locker room.
You don't want the twerk boat docked at Wolf River Harbor is what you don't want, right?
You don't want the twerk boat docked at Wolf River Harbor. Okay.
Speak for yourself. We're the content business, guys.
One of the things you always talk about with the Grizzlies is building a young core around Jaren Jackson Jr. and Morant while Jaren Jackson Jr. is before it's time for him to decide if he wants to stay or not.
Right.
Do these picks that the Grizzlies have help in that cause, or are they so far in the future? In other words, that they almost don't matter.
I would bet that Golden State pick is never exercised by the Grizzlies. I would bet it is a trade chip.
At some point in two years, whenever it's now,
it's a piece of currency you've now put in your billfold, and so you don't have to wait till 2024 to spend that unit of currency.
Right.
You have to wait till 2024 to draft a player with it, but you can still use it to better your team before then. And my guess would be that pick in particular is probably used by the Grizzlies as a trade chip before 2024.
For the reasons that we just discussed, basically, because you want to show progress around him. And then last question, Summer League tonight. Obviously, Brandon Clarke can't play because he's not officially a Grizzly, because it's ridiculous. And John Morant
Grayson
is
Allen,
injured.
Same reason
Grayson
John Morant injured.
Grayson Allen is
Jared Jackson's too good for summer league.
So it's going to be Javon Carter and Ivan Rabb?
Yeah, and Carter and Rabb are interesting because Rabb is non-guaranteed still. July 15th is his date. Javon Carter is guaranteed, but, like, guaranteed is not a guarantee. It just means his money's going to stay on the books, right? And so if the Grizzlies find themselves in a roster spot crunch, and they think there's something that they can do, they want to do, that they need a roster spot for, yeah, you could buy out Andre Iguodala, you could buy out Chandler Parsons. You could also cut Ivan Rabb and Javon Carter if they don't have a good summer league and you're not sure if they're going to play for you next season. So I think it's an important summer league for those two players.
And we get to see the new Grizzlies coach.
Yes, we can see Taylor Jenkins patrol the sidelines.
It's on
ESPN2.
ESPN2 at 8 o'clock, I think, or something like that. Yep. Is that right? ESPN2 at 8 o'clock. Chris, you're great to do extra yeoman service here. We appreciate it. Right now, if you could tell me you could have the Grizzlies situation or you could have any other teams in the league situation.
All right. Right?
At the end of last year, before the draft lottery,
yes,
there are maybe one or two teams that I would have picked the Grizzlies situation ahead of. The okay. Wizards, for example.
Sure, right? I can see that.
I could see some. Even then, Charlotte looked kind of hopeless,
right.
Whatever. But mostly, if you looked around, you'd say, oh, no, I'd rather be this team. Either because they're good right now or because they have more pieces right now. The one thing the Grizzlies had was Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yes.
So that was a nice piece. But they didn't have a coach. We didn't know anything about the front office. They were in basketball purgatory. They had a first-round pick that they had to give to the Celtics still. They were going to pick eighth in the draft.
They were going to pick eighth or convey.
They were in one of the worst situations in the NBA. And now, right now, you look around, there's not many teams. Like the really good teams, you'd rather be, right? You'd rather be in their situation than the Grizzlies teams. And the Pelicans, uh-huh. I'd rather have the Pelicans situation right now with the load of draft picks they have and with Zion and whatever else. And I thought they did a really good job adding Redick. But honestly, like you look at the Charlottes and the Orlandos and the Heat and the, like there's a whole lot of teams out there. I think the Grizzlies are in the upper half now of fun situations in the league.
Don't miss the Jeff Calkins Show tomorrow morning beginning at 9 a.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN. Celebrating a decade as Memphis at America's very best. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Come celebrate Independence Day with Edwin Watts Golf Shops this July 4th through Sunday the 7th. Incredible deals in every department. Save up to $100 on the Callaway Rogue Driver, Fairway, or Hybrid. Score two dozen Wilson Duo Soft Optics golf balls for just $35. And buy any Puma apparel item and get the second Puma item for 25% off. Get these deals and more, 4 days only, at Edwin Watts Golf Shops, home of the 90-day satisfaction guarantee.
Hey, Mid-South, this is Chris Murphy with Inman Murphy Termite and Pest Control. It's summertime and the bugs are upon us. Give us a call today at 388-0852. That's 388-0852. Or check us out on the web at inman-murphy.com and find out why we have over 2,500 five-star ratings. And if you're looking for a career change, give us a call at 388-0852. If you've got a clean background, a good driving record, and looking to make a better living for yourself, give us a call.
I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. One of the first things clients ask me is, what is my case worth? It depends on the injury, liability, and damages. And in most cases, it depends on the lawyer you hire. All lawyers are not the same. I would like to invite you to visit ForThePeople.com to see what your case might be worth. You will see injuries like yours, offers made by the insurance company, and verdicts made by juries. You will have an idea what your case may be worth in our hands. We try more cases than any firm in America every year, and that's important. Insurance companies know which law firms try cases and which firms settle cheap. Your case value is different in the hands of different lawyers. I've been around now a long time, fought countless battles. We are fighters who take on giants. In some cases, you hired your lawyer without doing your research, and you can just as quickly fire them if you now think you made a mistake. You only get one swing of the plate. Morgan & Morgan, ForThePeople.com.
You've heard of the Carpenter Art Garden, right? And all the wonderful things it does for the underprivileged young people in Binghamton?
Well, now the Carpenter Art Garden hires kids from the neighborhood as staff. That's due in part to a grant from Triumph Bank. And this summer, a group of volunteers from Triumph Bank will be working with the Carpenter Art Garden to teach a six-week course on financial education and literacy. Think about all the things you know that you take for granted: how to set up a checking account, how to use a debit card, how to budget, and how to save. Triumph Bank understands it's impossible to build any kind of financial future without these basic skills. So they've put together a team of volunteers, which includes the CEO of the bank, Will Chase, by the way, to make sure the kids at the Carpenter Art Garden have the knowledge and the access that they need. That's why Triumph Bank is a different kind of bank, and that's how the people at Triumph Bank treat everyone who steps through their doors. So go to their website at triumphbank.com. They're invested in the community and in making banking easy for you.
Get your gun, Nelly, and saddle up Penelope as Western Trading Days at Sunrise Buick GMC. Old-time trading prices on over 800 new Buicks and GMCs, and the Sunrise Used Car Corral has over 150 in stock. Sunrise has rustled up a good-looking herd of cars and trucks under $99.95. Ranch managers have been told to cut prices to the bone. If you're a good person with bad credit, SunriseMemphis.com will help you get your brand on one of these little fillies. Free hot dogs and Cokes at the Chuck Wagon. Western Trading Days, 385 in Houston Levy and Collierville. Cars cost less at Sunrise, partner.
Is there a room in your house that never seems to cool or heat the way you think it should? Then a Mitsubishi ductless system may be a solution for you. Hi, this is Lauren Choate with Choate's Air Conditioning, Heating, and Plumbing. Ductless systems are relatively new to the United States, but Mitsubishi ductless systems are a proven energy saver because the system does not have any ductwork, so it can blow colder air in the summer and warmer air in the winter. Mitsubishi's inverter-driven compressors automatically adjust to your core.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.